This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's a good crop there. I know like early mock drafts had Kenneth Grant as a common one. I think after he works out this week, we're not going to see that much anymore. He might be a top 15 pick. And I think there's a lot of depth on the defensive line, both interior and edge. I think there'll be good value late first. I also think because of the way the Eagles won, and everybody's going to say, oh, look at the Eagles. They always build through the trenches. But I think you're going to see more teams try to reshape their defensive front with maybe two picks in the first two rounds and say, we're going heavy defensive line. And I think there's enough value to go around for a lot of teams just in that top 64. So I think there'll be plenty in the late first for the Bills and with the two twos to add multiple defensive linemen.
That's Steve Palazzolo with Sal. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Thursday. I don't have my day of the week clock. I broadcast from home on Thursdays.
Yeah.
I should know. I'm from home on Thursdays. Now,
my new day of the week clock is there a golf tournament on? And then I know what day of the week it is. Like right now, I've got Jordan Spieth choking already at the beginning of this tournament. Like, oh, I know it's a Thursday because I got that happening. Three putt par on a par five.
He waits till Saturday for that. But
he's opening with a three putt par on a par five.
Steve Palazzolo there on the defensive line class and all that good stuff. A couple things you could obviously take away from that, Joe. One of them is the offensive talent in the draft will probably be good late. If everybody goes defense first, think about last year's draft. Was the first defensive player taken 16th?
Yes, it was something like that. Middle
Laitu
of the draft.
Laitu, defensive end of the Colts. It was way late. And that's a guy that was projected to go maybe top 10. So, you know, if you are someone that wants not just the Bills here, but any team that wants a receiver or offensive lineman, you might find really good value late first, early second, late second because of the big run on defensive tackles and defensive ends. So it could work that way.
Yeah, there were last year, it looks like, 8 defensive players that went in the first round.
Yeah, that's it. And in this year it'll be what, 20?
Yeah, 9 last year. Okay. Yeah, it'll double. It'll definitely double. And you're right, 15th was the first one that it got picked. This year, I mean, the way that it sounds, there are going to be, what, 3 receivers that go in the first round this year?
Probably.
There's going to be 2 quarterbacks. Does that sound fair? Should I say 3 quarterbacks?
I would bet a third goes.
All right. So 3 quarterbacks, 3 receivers, 2 running backs, I bet. I think the second guy whose name's escaping me behind Ginty is thought to be a first-round pick. I don't think there's a tight end, and then you have your offensive lineman. So but there's not going to be 15 offensive linemen that go in the first round. So what's going to make up for that? It's going to be all defensive players.
One position we have not talked about for the Bills, and maybe we should start, linebacker? Is linebacker in the cards in the first round?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
Why do we have to talk about linebacker?
Because they're going to plan for Matt Milano's departure. They're going to plan for that.
Okay.
Because if they find the right guy, I saw yesterday Chris Paul Jr., he goes by Pooh Paul.
Pooh Paul?
Isn't he? He's a coverage linebacker.
Yeah.
I just think that they could very, very easily look at their – let's look at the defense big picture. You want to fix your defense, and you think it's about getting difference makers. You are probably not that far away from losing Matt Milano as a true difference maker. If you already don't think you've lost that based on his availability, he's missed so much time. I mean, when the Bills have Dorian Williams out there are things to like about Dorian Williams. Do you like him as a full-time starter?
I'm fine with him as a full-time starter, maybe. I don't necessarily love it. I'm fine with it.
But once you go down from Milano to Dorian Williams, you lose that blue chip game. I mean, Milano has kind of been a game wrecker. And I want to at least acknowledge that if the right player were to fall to them there, especially if there's a run on defensive line, let's say this is how the draft works every year, right? Let's say 16 defensive linemen have gone before the Bills pick, which is possible. And you're on linebacker 3. What are you going to do? I think linebacker is in the mix.
The thing about that, though, how do you feel about them drafting a position where it's not going to matter this year? It's going to be like Cole Bishop last year where, all right, he's going to sit behind another guy, he's going to develop, and what are we going to be saying in a year then? It's going to be, well, I don't know, how good is this guy? He would have got out on the field.
But isn't that what the Eagles do? Is they say, holy cow, the talent at this spot for this player is incredible. I'm going to take this player. The Eagles are not always looking for who can contribute right away. And the Bills may have been doing that to a fault. Maybe. Mm-hmm. What do they need? Kyer Elam. Put him in. We need a corner. Okay. He has not contributed. Dalton Kincaid. We need a pass catcher. Okay. He did year one. Keon Coleman right away. That's what we need. Is he the best player at that spot? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, we all wanted a receiver. It seems most times when they have a very obvious need, they go right for that need. And it just happens to line up with best player available kind of stuff. I would just be – I'm keeping linebacker on the radar.
I think the Eagles, by the way, they do it – they've mostly – I'm looking at their draft history. They've done it, but they've done it really with defensive line.
Right.
And I think there is something to be said for doing that mentality of, we're already full here, but this guy's unbelievable. Let's pick him. I think that's a better idea when you're talking about positions that are rotational. Because if you're a defensive lineman, if the Bills were to draft, you know, or the Eagles were to draft another defensive lineman this offseason, right? They already have a bunch of guys. That guy will play. Mm-hmm. He might not play 80% of the snaps, but he'll get on the field. He'll get on the field 25, 30% of the time. If you draft a receiver and you already have two really good ones in front of him or three really good ones in front of him, all right, he might not start, but you're going to see him. He's going to be out there. You're going to get a look. And if you draft – I think if you draft a linebacker in the first round or the second round, I don't think I'm ever seeing him. Unless there's an injury.
I think you might see him right away. Let's also look at their history of drafting linebacker. The last 2-3 times they've done it, it's been Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard. And in both spots, didn't we say, why? What'd you do that for?
But that's round three, right?
I know, like, that's round three. But in both cases, we would have said, you don't really need that. And
we had the same reaction both times.
Yes, both times. Yeah. It was, are you sure? Why'd you do that? And I just think that you're closer than ever to Milano not being a regular piece of your defense. And again, like, who are the big pieces going forward? Taron Johnson is also a guy that's, how much time is there left? This defensive transition we saw away from Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, on and on. Mm-hmm. There's a second grouping that will eventually age out for the next core of this defense. And if, you know, this is a transition year defense where this is kind of year two. Sure, they want to win, but they're building it from scratch. And if they're building it with different philosophies, that's the other thing. Like Sal's talked about this. Are they going to go more man coverage? Are they going to be more open to going 4-3 and having three linebackers at times based on how teams line up? So I just think it's in the mix for sure. And, you know, defensive linemen and linebackers, I'm seeing they've met with a lot of them.
Yeah, that's right. Do you want to know Pro Football Focus where Dorian Williams graded last year? 90 linebackers in the league last year that qualified for this.
It's either going to be 2 or 87.
Not quite. There's actually a different punchline here, which is he actually ranked 62nd. That's total grade, including the coverage and the tackling and the run defense. 62nd out of 90. That also was the best Bills linebacker. By those metrics. Those grades.
I know that PFF is not impressed with Terrell Bernard too much.
They had him graded as one of the worst coverage linebackers in football last year. But he's not going anywhere.
No.
Like, we're not really.
In fact, I think he's getting extended.
Yes, I think he's getting extended, nor am I rushing to judgment on that. And PFF grades aren't perfect, so like this might be one guy where you might want to dive into the weeds and figure out why is his number popping up as that? And is he making up for it with turnovers, which he is one of those guys that right. does do that more than others. He's a more boomer bust type player than Tremaine Edmonds was, right? Edmonds was not many mistakes, but no splash plays, just nothing. And Bernard, maybe you do get more mistakes, but if you're getting a pick, you know, against the Chiefs, and if you're getting a fumble punched out against the Ravens, then that's gonna equate for the three mistakes that he makes more than an Edmonds would. I don't know though. But again, you've got three guys there that I feel pretty good about going into next year to draft a fourth one. At a premium position like that, when I'm trying to beat Kansas City, everything in my mind right now is, how does this help me beat the Chiefs in 2025 and in 2026? And I'm not saying a linebacker can't help me do that. I just think it's a lot harder to get there than any defensive lineman, any wide receiver, even the safety idea. Like, linebackers after all that for me.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you want to chime in on this. I mean, I'm not telling you they should. I'm just telling you
that they could.
How many positions
do you think they could?
In the first two rounds?
First two rounds. How many positions could they do it?
Okay, in the first two rounds, it could be, of course, edge, tackle, linebacker, corner, safety, receiver.
Okay, that's it?
That's the list, right? What else would there be?
Let's do it the other way. They're not picking a quarterback. They're not picking a tight end.
They're not picking a running back.
It'd be incredible if they picked a tight end.
They're not picking an offensive lineman. I don't think they're picking an offensive lineman.
But how different is offensive lineman from linebacker on that front? Like
I'll give you one difference. The difference is the linebackers are not good and the linemen are. Right?
Yes.
The offensive line is one of the best, and the linebackers, and if you're talking about trying to just overhaul your defense and build something...
Is my logic like a best player available, and this guy yes. might not play right away, but maybe he's in my future? Because I'll pick the one, maybe the weakest point you might pick out on the offensive line. Is David Edwards just like their left guard forever? Or if they picked a guard in the second round, will we go, all right, this guy's going to play after David Edwards' contract's up in a year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they also run six offensive linemen a lot.
That's
right. And they re-signed Alec Anderson.
They have an extra guy. And running back, we would say they wouldn't do,
yeah.
right?
I would think they would
I'm
not.
A little more open to them doing running back in the second round than... Actually, you know what?
You cannot be open to that. You take that back right now.
You
cannot be open to running back in the second round.
Are they best player available or are they best player available? Because the class at running back, it sounds like it's going to be awesome. And Bean's talking about the skill set needed when you need a weapon out of the backfield and you need to be able to play all three downs and pass blocking. And to me, what he said lines up with what the class is. I still would think it's less likely than more likely, but...
If they take a running back... And talk about his pass-catching ability. I'm just going to walk into the lake.
I'll make a bet with you right now. You want to put it up on the bet board?
Sure.
I'll take running back. You take linebacker. I think they're more likely to take a running back in the first two rounds.
What do they take? What do they take earlier?
Earlier?
Yeah.
I mean, when we get to the day three, though. Okay, fine. Yes,
the fourth round matters. Milano's a fifth. Shakir's a fifth.
All right, fine. What do they take earlier? Running back or linebacker?
All right. Put a Twitter poll.
Let's
do a Twitter poll on it too. Which do they take first of those two positions, linebacker or running back? All right. Good to get a bet on the bet board. We were due.
Weren't we going to put something up there the other day and we ended up not doing because it was going to take forever?
What was it?
It was going to take like 20 years, wasn't it?
Yes, it was some sort of legacy bet.
Someone being a GM.
Oh, it was that Jack Eichel was going to be the GM of the Bruins.
Yeah, we don't need to take up a spot on the bet board for 20 years. We really don't need to just look at that every day. We'll put this one up. Running back or linebacker, what's going to be earlier? I think it could be running back.
What's going to win the poll?
I bet it's going to be close.
They have drafted each of these positions a good amount. I mean, lots of running backs. And linebacker, you know, a decent amount as well. They've drafted more running backs and linebackers than defensive tackles in this regime. That's for sure. They're coming out of this with, I mean, we started the segment, Steve Palazzolo, they're talking about multiple defensive tackles. And, yeah, I think the Bills could come away with two, for sure.
Yeah. The thing that might help you in this, I bet we know we're going to know the answer on running back earlier than we're going to know the answer on linebacker for whether they would take one, how early they were going to take one, because linebacker, right, there's really nothing to figure out between now and the draft. It's just, are they going to take one, or are they kind of just going to roll with what they've got? Like, running back, if they sign Ty Johnson, then it's going to be, okay, that's pretty much off the table.
Right.
Versus if they don't sign Ty Johnson for whatever reason, maybe he was on tape. Like, there are going to be teams around the league that saw what he did. Maybe heard Josh Allen call him the best third down back in the league. If somebody signs Ty Johnson away, then I'm thinking they are definitely taking a running back at some point in this draft.
Yeah, free agency, of course, will factor this in a lot. I'm thinking about just this linebacker conversation. I'm thinking about how McDermott sounded about Milano at the end of the year. And Milano will, in theory, be healthy. But
right,
he was talking about Milano like he'll get every opportunity again. And that's,
I think him heating up as the season got later, right into the playoffs, I think helps that, right?
Yeah.
If he had looked like Vaughn did 2 years ago, where there was just nothing happening at all, then maybe this is a lot different. But he was great against the Jets, wasn't he? And he was,
yep, he will
was
be
pretty good in the playoffs.
He turns 30 next month.
Okay.
Milano does. He turns 30.
Yep.
You know, your starting stud linebacker is 30. To me, is a reason you could be hunting there.
Well, part of that also, like, just specifically on this like bet we just made, another implication is who are they more likely to pay? And I think Terrell Bernard is more likely to be paid than James Cook is, personally.
That's also a tough one.
Like, if they have, I don't know what they think of James Cook. I'm pretty sure they're just going to sign Terrell Bernard, right? And then that takes away a spot at linebacker. If they're just, we're going to pay Terrell Bernard. Of course we are. In running back, they're talking like they love James Cook and they're just going to give him a contract. They're going to work something out. But, you know, that's talk. Like, I don't know. I still feel like I don't truly know what their motivation is there. How motivated are they? Is it like with Gabe Davis or with other guys where, yeah, we'd like to have him back, but we are not paying market rate or we are not breaking the bank for this guy? Like, how comfortable are they saying, yeah, we're probably not going to work something out with James and we're just going to draft another one? And maybe we have one in the bag ready to go by the time, you know, we can't get something figured out with him. Again, he's not a three-down back, so that matters to this too.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us.
Any interest at all in the Bills report card in the NFLPA yesterday?
Yes, yes.
They did very poorly with travel, and they did, I think, didn't they do... Weren't you surprised to see 23rd out of 32 for the whole thing?
Well, the travel grade brought them down a lot.
Because it was an F-.
And the clarification on that is, among other things, that they had to fly out of Niagara Falls a lot because of the construction to the Buffalo runway.
Well, it was that. And the detailed Bills page on the report card the NFLPA put out was that Bills players were frustrated that they were made to sit in the smaller seats during travel while the coaches and auxiliary staff sat in first class.
Okay. So that's one part of it. Can I tell you the thing that jumped out at me? I looked for this. I shouldn't say it jumped out.
Insufficient space or discomfort while traveling to away games. Anyways, go ahead.
I looked for this. All right? Here are the coaches. Where did the head coach rank?
Yeah.
Here are the teams where the head coach ranked below the Bills.
Yep.
Sean McDermott. These are the teams that ranked below. Chicago.
Matt Nagy.
Oh, Matt Eberflus.
Thank you. Matt Eberflus. The same
Fired.
Person to me.
Fired.
Yeah. Yep.
Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski. Still there.
Yep.
Jacksonville.
Fired. Doug Peterson.
Fired.
Right?
Fired.
Yep.
New Orleans.
Dennis Allen.
Fired.
Fired.
That's it. That's the list.
Yeah.
There are a lot of teams that are tied with a B, but let's get to some of the teams that tied with a B.
you get the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fired. Another one, right? Another
yep.
fired. Other Bs. Denver, Sean Payton.
Okay.
Baltimore, John Harbaugh. A lot of A's out there, and of the again, four or five teams that finished below the Bills, and they were all fired except for Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
So that's I'm not here trying to tell you to fire McDermott. I wanted to see, all right, where does he rank? And the answer is not high.
I guess the interesting thing is that a lot of teams rate their coach pretty highly, right?
Yes.
In under head coach for McDermott, it says 88% of Bills players believe their head coach, Sean McDermott, is efficient with their time. So 88%, but that ranks 24th out of 32. Yeah,
that's a B.
So like, that means everybody in the league thinks their coach is pretty efficient with their time. Players yeah. feel McDermott is moderately receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs. That ranks him 27th out of 32. Yeah. So again, though, like a B... Sure, it actually went... What's weird is you look at it year over year, and it actually went down from last year when the whole narrative of McDermott's season, and I still believe this, is that he kind of became more player-friendly? He loosened up a little bit, right? It was a little less stressful maybe in the locker room, so it was weird for me to see that because it didn't add up with everything that we had heard from everybody during the whole season. On McDermott specifically.
Yeah. 803-0550, Combine Week, Sabres and Canes tonight looking for their first win in Carolina since 2016.
Oh, who scored goals that day for the Sabres?
I have the answers, I know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I got the goalie right.
You did.
Is there going to be like a Benoit Pouliot goal somewhere in there?
If you missed it earlier, I asked Joe, last Sabre to goalie to win in Carolina, and he got it right.
Do you know why he's my go-to for any question like this?
Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson. Yeah, Sabre's drought goalie, my go-to is always Chad Johnson because he, I think, surprised stunningly to everybody. Stunningly, whatever. They've had a 14-year playoff drought. I think in the playoff drought, he's got the best save percentage for the team.
Yeah.
Like, he had a year with a 920. And they didn't make the playoffs.
So in March of 2016... I think this is March. We got the game here. Yeah, late in the season. The Sabres win in Carolina 3-2.
Okay.
Your goal scorers, Carlo Koliakovo.
Yes.
Evander Kane and Johan Larsson.
Koliakovo. I think that might be better than Chad Johnson.
Carlo Koliakovo.
To put in perspective, they have not won in Carolina since Carlo Koliakovo was on the team.
Great guy. Does media in Toronto, yeah. Carlo. He's the best. Anyway, all right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Look at a good, you know, look at that good, honest, eat your vegetables segment about linebackers and defensive line. Not about receivers, Joe, huh?
See? We didn't even mention it.
We didn't mention receiver.
We probably didn't.
I got into linebackers for you out there.
Linebacker. I was not expecting that at all. I don't know that I was expecting linebacker to be brought up the entire spring.
I know. You know what did it? It was that guy, Pooh Paul. They interviewed a guy named Pooh.
Pooh Paul.
All right, let me look into this guy. And the highlights are coverage linebacker, really sticky in coverage.
You want him so that if you draft him and he makes a play, the whole crowd just goes, Pooh.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's pretty good.
Seriously, his name being Pooh will move him up at least one round.
Sure.
That's how that works.
Yes.
Break time. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on WGR.
We want Khalil to play for us. Him and I have had some conversations. We've talked to his representation and pounding away at that. And just, you know, hopefully we can get something done. But in terms of Khalil, love him. And I've had an opportunity to be around a lot of great players over my years. I tell the story all the time. Like, he is what you want to show young scouts what a pro is, what a great pro is all about. And he's just such a wonderful human being, such a wonderful teammate, great family. Just absolutely love him and would love to have him back.
Joe Hortz, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers on Khalil Mack. That might just be the most likely outcome for the Bills on defensive line this offseason. It's just, oh, they're just going to get Khalil Mack. All the Garrett trade talk and Max Crosby and whoever. Mack is the best available defensive end right now. Garrett's not really available. Not yet. I mean, there will most likely, there's going to come a day where we see one of the tweeters, one of the NFL insider guys go, all right, the Browns are taking calls. Here we go. Start the sweepstakes. But at the moment, that's not true. Crosby, that's not true of right now. Harold Landry, it is true of from the Titans, who's got 30 sacks in his last 3 years. But all the numbers, the win rates and the pressures and the hurries and the quarterback hits, all of it indicates that that guy is just getting cleanup sacks. Like, he is not the reason that the Titans have generated pressure. Like, he's getting there late. Someone's pushed him, the quarterback up to him, and then he's cleaning it up. So I don't love that idea. And then there is Mack, who is a free agent, went to school here. So he's got a connection to the area. He talked about thinking he was going to be drafted by the Bills way back when, and he loved that idea. So there's that. He's at an age where it's not really like a long-term relationship. 34 years old. It just would be cool for him to play here, and it all kind of fits, right? Like, that's not why you do it. You do it because he is a good pass rusher still, who has been a Pro Bowler 3 years in a row. And, like, his 6 sacks last year compared to Landry's 9, I'll give me the 6-sack guy, when every other indication is he's constantly generating pressure when he's not sacking the quarterback. The sack numbers, like, sacks are overrated. They're a very, very elementary way of figuring out who you want as a defensive end. They're not nothing. You like to see those numbers be big. But think about 6 versus 9. How many plays do these guys play in a given year? Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds. You're only going to get a sack on 9 of those plays if you're great. 15 to 20 if you're elite. It's not really that many plays. What are you doing on the other 400 plays? Are you getting the quarterback off his spot? Are you chasing him out of the pocket? Are you forcing him into an intentional grounding? Right? Those don't count on your resume. And all of that stuff points to Mack is still a very good player. You shouldn't just stare at 6 sacks last year. You should look at a lot of that other stuff and think that he's still got some juice left. The other name I wanted to talk about on the defensive side of the football for a trade idea, Jaire Alexander of the Green Bay Packers is available for trade. And that was reported yesterday by Ian Rappaport. And Alexander, 2-time All-Pro. He was second-team All-Pro both times. You might remember him. I mean, he's a big talker. Huge talker. Trash talk and, you know, almost to the Richard Sherman level. Alexander, a couple years ago, remember the Green Bay Sunday night game? Where he's running, the Packers and the Bills are running out of the tunnel for warm-ups. And Diggs is just screaming at Jaire Alexander. Like, the whole game, Diggs wanted to fist fight Jaire Alexander. And he won that day, didn't he? Like, I'm pretty sure he had a big day, if I remember right. Because I remember Alexander then saying something in post-game about, you know, how, oh, I did my job. Like, Diggs only had 60 yards, but Diggs and the rest of the Bills were taking the victory lap because they won the football game. So this guy, he's a big trash talker. He's been a great player in the past, but he's got injury problems. Injury problems. He has played 14 of the possible 34 games in the last 2 seasons. He's missed 20 games due to injury. That's not even counting playoffs. And it's a big contract. This is one of those where I'd want to ask like a Mike Gennady or somebody, like, what's the team acquiring him on the hook for? Because you pull up Jaire Alexander, cornerback, by the way, if I needed to be said. Top-level corner. One of the best corners in football over 5-6 years. 28 years old. He's going to his age 28-year-old season. He has a $25 million cap hit for the Packers this year. So it would make sense that they're going to want to trade him, because a cut takes on a lot of money and you get nothing for it. Where a trade, maybe you get the other team to take some of the money back. Signing bonus, I know it gets cut off that. So I think the Bills would be on the hook for like $16 million this year for him. And that sounds like a lot. But again, it's a big risk. He's such a good player when he's healthy. He's such a good player. You'd almost have to agree to a rework contract, right? That 16 number is probably too big. Could you get him to come here on to get him to 10? Take a pay cut to come to the Bills? Because on the surface, I can get a corner at $28 million who's a buy low right now. His value is not high because the Packers know the injury history of the last 2 years and they're on the hook for more money than the acquiring team would be. That would be an upgrade over Rasul Douglas. Again, there's ifs here, though. I asked Sal earlier, you know, about the draft picks. How much do the Bills want to ever take a risk on a player who is supremely talented, but you got availability questions? And the answer from Sal and the answer from the Bills' resume as an organization for 7-8 years now is they don't really go near those guys. They don't really go near guys that have a big injury risk. Will they never, though? Will there ever be a situation where they're willing to bite the bullet and kind of take the shot and be willing to get burned? Tyler Dunn was on last week, and Tyler talked about how he could see the Bills changing up how they do some things, maybe taking some more risks in areas that they didn't typically take risks in, and this would be one of them. So just an idea. He's a top-level corner at a position of need for the Bills, and you'd have to pay him. You probably wouldn't have to give up almost anything to get him, like a fifth-round pick, maybe, because of the contract. Do you know how those trades work? 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Ben in Chicago. Ben in Chicago on the Western Hotline. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Morning.
So, you know, I was reading an article talking about players surveying how they're, you know, various aspects of how they're treated with their team. And, you know, of all the categories, Bills players had an F- for the travel arrangements.
Yes.
Mostly just complaining about how they get stuck in coach, you know, they can't bend the seats. It's like, man, you know, of all the things, it's such an easy way for Pegula to get some good PR. Get these guys a big, you know, Boeing 747, big seats for all the guys. I mean, pimp out the thing. It'll be awesome. I think just great opportunity. See what you guys think.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. I don't know about buying a plane specifically. The Patriots actually have their own plane, and that also, I think, got an F. They were talking about like the ashtrays on the plane because it's so old. I think these things do serve a purpose. These NFLPA report cards. It's the players that are telling you what they think. But why are they doing it? Because they want their team to improve at it. That's also why they release it to the public. That's why the NFLPA puts it out there. Because they know teams don't want people to think that they're bad at all this. They don't want the embarrassment. They don't want the Bengals. They don't want everybody looking at yesterday how their food is worse than prison food. Like, wasn't that in the review? They got an F- for like food and like how terrible it is.
The freshness was a thing too.
The freshness of the food.
It was
food,
like
right.
A 3.5 or something. Like
out of 10, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't want that out there. It's geared to the point of the report card is to tell the Bengals, hey, come on. Clean up your act here. Give us some real good. Give us some food. What's the point of the Bills players and the PA putting out this about their travel? It's, hey, come on, let us sit in the big seats. We got guys that are 6'7". How big is Spencer Brown? We got guys that are 6'9", 320 pounds. Give them the extra leg room. Come on. That's all it is. And also, team travel is the only thing the Bills really did really poor at.
Spencer Brown is 6'8", 311.
6'8", 311. Come on. Spencer Brown in first class. Not even because, you know, oh, it's the player privilege and everything. It's not even about that. It's just size. Leg room. That's it. And again, the Bills team travel was the only thing they did worse than a B in. Everything else was at least a B. One other thing. Training staff. And here you go. It's already in action. Training staff got a C. 27th out of 32 teams. Players feel that their training staff slightly contributes to their overall success. 25% of Bills players report they did not receive enough one-on-one training treatment. So what the Bills do? They're going to have a new strength and conditioning coach. They've already made that change. 803-0550 is the phone number. More time for your phone calls. I got a Sabres trade thing I want to get to before the end of the show, too. Patterson drama in Vancouver continues. This is WGR. Be caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Western New York Sport and Travel Expo. It's coming to the fairgrounds in Hamburg from Friday, March 7th through Sunday, March 9th. You can visit WNYSportsShow.com for details and tickets. Listen to the show all this week for your chance to win a 4-pack to the 2025 Western New York Sport and Travel Expo, courtesy of Erie Promotions. Golf is on in here. Happy to have that back. PGA Tour. And you've got a good field this week. So if you're trying to, you know, get your golf fix in, you got some big names. Spieth, Fowler's up in here, Cam Young, not Rory or Scheffler, but the next tier for sure. Time out here, 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get back to the Bills. There's also a Sabres trade conversation with Elias Pettersson that I think is worth having again. He might be back on the market. He's getting criticized a lot. Those are your things that are coming up here on Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.